You go down to the coast, and there's a shrub that grows in the sand. A lot of loose sand along the coast. There's a shrub down there that it grows real prolific. And at the right time of year, when you go down there, it has a real brilliant yellow bloom on it. Just loaded. Acres and acres and acres. You look out over there, and it's just a big yellow sheet. Beautiful to look at. Good many years ago, out in the Willamette Valley, it was a agricultural thing. There is bottom ground in the valley, but there are also hills. The bottom, of course, is sandy loam, and it's good for all kinds of vegetables. But the hills is clay. Kind of a red-looking clay, and it's an excellent place to raise orchards. It has several different kinds of cherries and prunes and apples, pears, and peaches, and of course in the spring these are all in bloom, you know. And the city of Salem, I can remember when I was a lad, they used to outline stake out a route out through the hills, the surrounding country, and when it was the right time, they'd announce Blossom Day, and you could drive through there and look at those. Some of them were pink, some of them were white, some of them just various colors, and it just a scene to me that I never forget. It was beautiful to look at. I enjoyed that. In our front yard at home, we have an English walnut tree. It's quite a large tree, and it makes a real nice shade tree. Probably 2.5 feet through. It was hard to mow around. You couldn't turn the mower sharp enough to pull this clear around it. You'd have to cut one side and then make an oval and come back and cut another side. And I got kind of tired of that, and I said, I'm going to change this. So I took the tiller and went down there, and I tilled me up a place that was way around, see? 8 or 10 feet across. And I composted it all down, and I planted me a flower bed in there. Oh, when I laid it out, I thought, well, let's maybe not go overboard with this. Let's just put a few in there. And the more I thought about it, they don't look good, all straggled out like that. So we kind of invested a little more in, and we planted them just close together, you know, just every few inches, 6 or 8 inches apart, clear around there. And when that comes up in the spring and it starts to bloom, to me, it's beautiful. I like to look at it. Back next to the trunk of the tree, there's a couple of rows that are deep purple. Real deep purple. And then it's surrounded with bright red and bright yellow blended together. I enjoy that. I think that's beautiful. I understood that tulips come in every color but black. They never were successful to breed a black tulip. On our way out here this spring, the folks that we visited up in Michigan took us with them up into northern Michigan to Holland, Michigan, and they have a tulip festival. Everywhere you look, it was in bloom. You look down the street, and they're lined with all down the curbs and all this. Everywhere there are flower beds, flower boxes, all of this. I enjoyed that. That's beautiful to me. Over along the coast, on the coast highway, when you go from Reedsport up toward Newport, There's a park on the side of the road. I can't recall the name of it, but it gave a lily by name, and it said, this park is just off the highway. If you want to exit here, then you can go in and look at this. It's if I remember correctly, it's real rare. I don't know whether it's the only one in the world or not. Perhaps not. It's probably maybe the only one in Oregon. We were going up the highway one day, and we saw this sign. We said, let's go in and look at this. So we pulled in there. We got out and started down the trail, and it came up on a bridge. It's elevated up off of it. These flowers evidently need a special environment to thrive in. It looked kind of marshy down in there, like there was water down there. They had leaves. The flowers came up and they curled like a snake. Only it was on a stem. And when they would open up, they would unroll that, and it would open out. And when the insects, moths or millers or bees or whatever, would come along to go in there to, like they do on all flowers, you know, when they went down in there, this lily would close up. And that was the end of that one. They just devoured that. That was their nature. It was interesting to me to look at them. We walked through there and enjoyed that. On the Cascade Range, on the east side of the Willamette Valley, directly east of our home, the road follows a stream. They call it the Santa Am River. That's the name that it has. When you go way on up the mountain, higher altitude and all, up on getting close to the crest of the range, there's a lily that grows up there. It's real rare. I don't know. I can't tell you why. I suppose a botanist could or something. But in the springtime, they bloom quite prolifically up there. Santa Ann lilies. I like to go up there and look at them. They're different than you'll see anyplace else. I wonder, would it be out of order? Would you like to take a little tour of lilies this evening? You won't find many like them because they're unique. They're different, but to me they're interesting, and more than that, they're valuable. Before we start, could I invite us to look at a text of Scripture? In the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, I want Songs of Solomon, I'm sorry. I want the Songs of Solomon in the second chapter. Here's what he said. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I don't know what comes to your mind, but I can tell you freely what comes to mind. There is only one. Rose of Sharon. But he said next, he said, as the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Do you see anything interesting about that? I can understand roses grow from thorn bushes, but lilies don't, do they? But he said, as the lily among the thorns, then it has to be something different, something unusual, doesn't it? So is my love among the daughters. Over in the 6th chapter of the Songs of Solomon, 3rd verse, he said, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. This is some of the lilies that I'm interested in. I'd like for us to visit some of them, if you would. Would you go along? Usually when you go in the hothouse, in the nursery, where these things are grown, they'll have the poster up there along the way. Do not pick the flowers. Well, that's not so with this. When we go through, I would like to urge you, everyone, to pick a flower. As you recognize the lily, as it appears to you, you pick it and take it to yourself. Because when you do, when you have taken yours away, you can't tell you ever touched it. It'll still be there. Very remarkable, isn't it? The world has some that are unique. God has some that are unique too. So as we go along, and as you recognize each of these, you pluck one for yourself and clasp it to your bosom. Take it with you. It'll be a treasure to you in days to come, I believe. Let's don't forget the other thing that we noticed in the beginning. One of the characteristics of these lilies is that it has thorns. Look for it. Notice them as we go along. Are we ready? We'll have to climb a mountain a little bit to get to the first one. As we go up the trail, kind of notice a little bit. It seems like the rocks may have been pushed around or something. Looks like there's been a disturbance here. A lot of things kind of unusual, but let's go right on over that. And we'll go into a cave. A cave for a flower? Yes, that's where this one is. It's in a cave. You look now, you see it emerge. Up on the back wall, there's a little inscription there. Let's read what it says. And came thither unto the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Do you see some thorns? Right up close. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped up his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it. When you recall the story, then you know why they were after Elijah, don't you? He had just finished slaying 400 of Baal's prophets. Do you see a lily in bloom? I see one, don't you? Here was a man that took the seeds of life that were given to him, planted it in his heart, and stood by it, and it brought him to this place of faithfulness. That's when it really blooms, isn't it? Is when its faithfulness is there. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of this name shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Do you see what he was saying to the prophet? I am pleased with what you have done, therefore I commission you to your next responsibility. I see a lily blooming there, don't you? Faithfulness, allowing that to shine out that was in him. Something pure, something clean. We've been listening into this meeting. Make your decision. Make your dedication. Have a conviction. This is all found in this lily, isn't it? And this is what it brought it to. A fruitful life. A life of value to the one who gave it. Should we leave here now and visit another one? Let's walk a little bit softly as we go in here. We'll pass a few things on the way in, but we'll look over them for right now, and we'll go on in to where the lily actually is. And we'll find it. I visualize it in my mind, a little hollowed out place perhaps. Looked like there might have been a campfire there sometime or something, because there's a layer of ashes in there, and the lilies in the ashes. It's there with a potsherd, and when you look real close, you'll see the sores on it. You already know where it is, don't you? Oh, thank you. This one, in this condition, in this position, uncomplaining, listen to what he said. Here's the inscription that's in this one. Then Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Do you see a lily blooming? In the face of all that he had to face, he still worshipped. What more could show the brilliance, the splendor, the wonder of what he had himself in his own heart, the beauty of it? And he worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at this. Look at this. The splendor of this lily come forth. Don't you know this is beautiful to our Lord? In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You think for a minute. Your imagination is further on the same as mine. We came in here kind of quietly, and we stand and look in awe. But I have to remember, as I know you do, what has just happened before we came in. Everything he had been destroyed. His cattle was gone. His lands were gone. His children were gone. Everything that life could have held precious to him had been wiped out, one right after the other. It came even to the place that his own wife said, "Why don't you raise up and curse God and die?" But this lily still blooms. That's what I call faithfulness, wouldn't you? Perseverance. What we've been hearing about in this meeting. Dedication. Here it is in bloom. Here's the example. How can we deny it? It's here. But there's a little more to it than that. And let's notice that as we go along too. In the other one, when the man had been faithful, the Lord told him, he said, he didn't seem to pay much attention to what he'd been through. He said, "Come on now, it's time for the next assignment." But listen to what he said to this one. 42nd chapter of Job. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes.'" What had brought on this kind of exclamation, this kind of personal outpouring, what the Lord had brought him through when it was all finished? We couldn't take time to read it all. You ought to read it sometime. When God began to deal with Job about all that he'd been through and the wonders, the marvel of the things that he revealed his understanding. You know what that was? That was a little fertilizer on this lily. Job went from that place a bigger, better, more capable man than he had ever been before. Simply because he understood God better, he understood himself better, he understood his fellow man better. There was, here to me, this is a lily that blooms. Didn't it, you? Beautiful to look at. Did you pick one off of the first one? Be sure and get one off of this one too and take it with you. Well, let's move on to another one. My soul thrills when I read these things. They just fascinate my soul. 38th chapter over here. This one's going to be a little different. The setting will be a little different. And I'm not just sure how we're going to be able to present this, but we'll try and get it across so that you understand what we're trying to say. In order to see this one, we'll have to go into a pit. Maybe, I don't know, perhaps there's an old windlass there. Now, if we could let each other down there and turn or something to see what's down there. You visualize in your mind that you're going down, each one of you, and I'll try and let you down with the windlass, all right? And when you go down and get there, you look for the lily. It's down there, because there is one. Where is he? He's sunken clear down in the mire, isn't he? He said there's no water in there, no danger of drowning. It's water mixed with soil that makes mire, and oozy, mushy, thick, slimy. And how far did he sink? It don't say how far. Maybe it was up to here, I don't know. So what do you see blooming there? Pick you a specimen and bring it with you. But let's read the inscription down here while we're here. 38:3 of Jeremiah. "Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given unto the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Do you see the faithfulness of this Lily? He told the truth when he knew it would not be accepted in the ears of the people. Even with his peers, those who had authority over him, he knew that he wasn't going to be accepted, but he was true to his Maker. Oh, how important that is. That's a quality that must be there. Oh, he said, Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. In other words, the king couldn't handle the people, so they went to work. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Micaiah and the son of Hamlech that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And that's where we look at this lily. Blooming down there? Yes. How do you know that? Because he was faithful. Do you see any thorns? I'd consider that thorns, wouldn't you? Thorns that gives puncture wounds, thorns that gives scratch wounds, thorns that are painful. A lot of thorns seem to poison the wound that they inflict, makes it hard to heal. But here's the lily blooming right in the midst of it. To me, it's beautiful. In the 40th chapter of Jeremiah, let's follow the case just a little bit further. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Even the captain of the guard from Babylon knew what was happening to the children of Israel, didn't he? Now the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he has said, because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now, behold, I loose thee this day. That's the captain of the guard talking to Jeremiah. All of the rest of them were carried into captivity. But he said to him, And now, behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, come, and I'll look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me unto Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whether it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Now while he was not yet gone back, he said, Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah. If you want to go back there and dwell with him among the people, or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him bills and a reward and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Does it pay to be true to God? It did for this one, didn't it? We peek down in there and look at him, and I see a lily in full bloom, don't you? Unusual circumstances? Oh, yes. But God can make us bloom wherever he puts us. Don't you never lose sight of that. He can make us bloom wherever he puts us. Let's move over to another one for a moment, could we? This time it's going to be a little different. We'll have to have a, well, I don't know, what perhaps it would take. People who do welding nowadays have a special shield that they put up here so the arc doesn't hurt their eyes and burn their flesh and all of that. We're going to need some kind of shield because we're going to look in a place that's 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. We're going to look in a place where those who moved up close enough to put something in there, it took their life. Did you look for a minute? And what did you see? You saw 3 lilies blooming in the back of a burning fiery furnace, didn't you? In full bloom? I'm convinced they were. You think about it. The inscription. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see the thorns appear now? They're always there, aren't they? In every case, they've been there, manifesting themselves. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, and the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. O child of God, you that would aspire to be a lily in this garden, get ready to walk with him, because he's going to be there. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I'm not so much interested in a promotion in the province of Babylon. What I'm looking at is what this performance did for them in the heart of our Lord. The faithfulness that was there. The trueness. The unwillingness to do anything else. Oh, that's what it means to bloom in this garden, isn't it? This is what it's designed to do, to provide that environment where this kind of manifestation can be brought forth. I'm looking at unique Billies, aren't you? Pluck you off these three and put them in your collection, will you please? And let's take it with us. Move over in the sixth chapter of Daniel. This one's going to be a little different again. We'll have to go down in another pit. I don't know as the text gives the exact details. I visualize it in my mind. I'll give you the liberty to visualize it in your mind. When I look down there, when I searching, I visualize this lily sitting on a rock and a great big lion's head laying on its lap. You already know who it is, don't you? It thrills my soul. Blooming right down in the midst of that. Been there all night. When he was taken out and the guards that had put him in there were thrown in their place, it torn pieces immediately. Why? Because they couldn't bloom, but he could. It's worth something, isn't it? 7th verse, 6th chapter, book of Daniel. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Do you see the working of jealousy? Envy? There's our thorns in it. He was faithful to God. It crossed the desires of men, and it brought the persecution. But he is faithful in the midst of it. Now, O king, establish the decrees and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Do you see this lily developing? Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then the king near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which ordereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Oh, pray God that in the developing of my lily that I'm not willing to compromise either. I'm not willing to back away from whatever it takes to stay in that divine favor. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the dam, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And so we come into the picture, and here he is, sitting in the dungeon, in the den. Lions' heads maybe on one knee and one on the other. I don't know where they were. I know this, that wherever they were powerless to do anything against him. In the midst of it all, there was no big multitude there to see it, but a beautiful lily bloomed. It came into brilliance. Its splendor was glowing. But have you thought of this? That the audience it attracted has been going on for thousands of years. People have been looking at this and marveling at the handiwork of God that he wrought in a dungeon. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. It should have, shouldn't it? Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste under the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lions' mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Do you see a lily blooming? He could have gotten mad, couldn't he? He could have cursed the king out, called him off. No, that's not in this kind of lily. That kind of strain has long since been taken out. These bloom in a unique fashion. They present their blossom to the soul that's honest, to the soul that walks before our Lord in that same essence that these walk in. We recognize this, don't we? The beauty, the splendor, the majesty. Oh, it thrills my soul when I read about it. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. What was the invitation? Would you like to bloom in our Lord's kingdom like we have bloomed before you? Then here he is. You can have just exactly what we... Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my Lord, will you instill that in me that makes desirable to every man I see to live in such way that when they behold the lily developing in my life, it'll be so attractive that they want the same thing. Amen. That's what we'd love for the whole world to have, isn't it? Amen. Here it was on display. We got to look at it in the depth of a prison where men's feet or ankles are in the stocks and their backs are bleeding and they're singing praise to God. Pick up your specimen here and bring it along, will you please? There's one more that we'd like to look at before we leave. This one's going to be a little different. We'll have to climb a hill. And when we get there, we won't go into a pit. We won't have to look down. There won't be anything torn up much. We'll have to look up to see it. You know where it is, don't you? Oh. I don't know how to express the feeling that I have as I look at this one. Because he's more than a lily. He is the image. He is the true image that made the reflection that makes you and me. He is the rose and the lily combined. It's all there in it. Listen to the inscription here. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part. Wait a minute. Now I want to start back at the 13th verse. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth. This is the 19th of St. John. He brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called a pavement, but in a Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. You see the thorns around here? Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I believe Pilate saw something that the chief priests didn't see. Don't you? He saw the real lily of the valley. He saw the true image. He saw the one that's the author of the whole thing. Or you recognize the thorns as we went along, didn't you? You saw them the same as I did. But that wasn't the end of it. We have read, as we went along with these others, we've noticed that their faithfulness, it paid a dividend. It was worth what they invested in it. I believe every one of them, when they had completed the thing, felt well paid, don't you? Let's look at this one. We know this is our Christ. But listen to the testimony that went forth. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. What's he doing? He's paying to this faithful candidate what he justly deserved, isn't he? Faithfulness is worth the effort, isn't it? Trueness, the payback, is well worth whatever we invest in it. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, have you wondered why these lilies glow so in such obscure places, in caves and in pits and in dens of the earth? Because it comes from that inner illumination that can't be denied. It can't be shut off. There is no way to quell it. It's not a thing that comes from the outside. It comes from the inside. Jesus brought to us the fullness of his heart. It was made up of the fullness of what God is. When he instills it in a heart like yours and mine, it will automatically bring forth that same brilliance, that same splendor, that same glory, that same beauty, and it'll shine wherever it is. You don't have to be on display to shine for God. You can be in the hardest of situations, and that illuminance just shine out. And when it does, it's going to catch somebody's attention. You may not even know it, but what's the difference? If the master knows, That's all we need, isn't it? Who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, that was no easy task. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He bloomed down here in its fullness on the cross. But look where it took Him. To the right hand of the Majesty on high for a day, for a week, for a month, for a century. He's there forever. And what's He doing up there? He's inviting everyone here who will receive of this essence and begin to bloom for Him. He gives us a passport to that same place where He's at. Oh, think of it. What'll it be some of these days to gather up there and see that multitude of heavenly hosts gathered together, every one of them in full bloom? And you know what? There won't be a blight in it. You can look out over it and every one will be in full bloom. Oh, it thrills my soul, doesn't it you? He is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who make His angels, maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Oh, listen to this. What made Him able to bloom in such splendor, in such beauty, in such majesty? What have we been hearing about in this meeting? Make your decision. Turn your mind and your heart to Him. Pick out that's true, that's pure, that's wholesome, that's right. Dedicate your life to that. What was it that made Christ worthy to be received? Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Where does this come from? That's a spontaneous outpouring of the sentiment of the heart. You will never be successful trying to serve the Lord if you don't really love this virtue in your own self. To love this more than you love your own life. That's what He did, isn't it? Then He said, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Whatever it takes to have this, dear Lord, and I can promise you that when you start out like that, it'll take you through the thorn patch. But when you get to the center of the thorn patch, there will be the lily that you're looking for. That unique, that different, that one of a kind. Oh, how do you describe it? I don't know what word to give to it. I hope you get the thought. You take this. You take this image. And when you start to make your arrangement to hang on the wall or whatever you do, you take this one and you put Him in the center and arrange these others around it. And you have a bouquet of the most unique lilies this world has ever seen. And remember, it's offered to you. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hand. They shall perish, but Thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But Thou art the same, and Thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Oh, think. He didn't die in vain, did He? You know why I can stand with confidence and tell you He didn't die in vain? because he lives in me. I see him living in others, don't you? As I go along this journey, every once in a while, I see some of these lilies. There was a dear old brother just a few miles down the road, and I believe he bloomed down there. He lived faithful, didn't he? Were the thorns there? Oh, yeah. I never saw him down toward the last, but I understand a good part of his whole face was gone. Yet I never heard anything else but this. Every time I went there, I came away encouraging myself. Why? Because the lily was blue. Because this essence was outflowing. Because he was in touch with the source, the one that made it able. That's what he came to this world for, was to fix it so you and I can be true in the face of adversity. Whatever we come to, we can live for him. Oh, think of it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Do you know what his enemies are? It's those powers and influences that seek to pull us away from his bosom. The powers of wickedness. The powers of evil. He can destroy it, but he cannot destroy it without our permission. We have to give him permission. If we'll do that, if we'll practice what he practiced, if we love righteousness and hate iniquity, we can put ourselves in his hand and it can be destroyed out of our lives. Oh, it's been proven, hasn't it? For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He's talking about his people, isn't he? The lilies of his garden. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that they had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When all of this defilement is gone, there's the framework for the lily can start to develop in it. And where is it going to be? Yours in my heart and life. Yielded to him. Whatever situation I face, Lord, they criticized, they disagreed, they didn't want me to go this way, but this is what you said, and that's where I'm going to stay. It may take you to the pit. It may take you to the dungeon. It may take you to the cave, but it'll also keep you embraced in his fold. Oh, listen, some of these days, there's going to be a beautiful bouquet on display. I want to be in it, don't you? Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. My soul thrills. This is my promise. You take it for your promise. This belongs to us. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh, I don't know. My cup runs over when I think of these things. Over in the in 2 Corinthians here, I'd like to look at one other text for, well, Let's just Second Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Are you listening to this? We have sat through 10 days of service, and we have listened to counsel after counsel after counsel after counsel. We have marveled at it, haven't we? But listen, it's all still abstract. We have it in thought. We have it in understanding. But before it can ever be meaningful in a dimension that we have tried to outline for you tonight, it has to transpose from idea to fact. Which means that when we leave this place, we'll well find ourselves in those situations where these kind of qualities will develop. You know what that means? One of the characteristics of this unique lily is the thorns. We all enjoy the bloom, don't we? But the thorn goes with it. Then here is the admonition of this one who we've served, the promise that he's given to us. As we've gone through this garden and you've collected your bouquet, and as you have it, you arrange it however you want, in your mind or in your heart, but as you arrange it, you remember this that goes along with it. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In every situation that we visited this evening, we've met people in trouble, consternation, in distress, perplexity, what to do, which way to turn. Every one of them met the Lord, didn't they? Oh, listen, he'll be there to meet us too. And when he does, whatever our situation, he knows exactly what to do to comfort, what to do to instruct, what to do to help out, what to do to strengthen. He knows how to do all of that. And he's more anxious to do it for us than we are to receive it, if we only do it. Oh, he said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, as you start from this place to face life, and its troubles and distresses begin to confront you, I hope you have this bouquet in a prominent place where you can see it. Look at these that have gone before and what they've endured. And what was the outcome when they stayed firm, remained true? Because it'll be just as true for you and me as it was for them. Trouble which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Oh, you think of it. You want to know Christ better? Prepare yourself to go through the hard place. Get ready for the thorns to get a little sharper. Get ready for them to prick you a little deeper. But when you come out, you'll be like these. Remember what Job went through? Oh, here's the lily, isn't it? Lord, all of this that I went through, but look how much richer I am now. I know God so much better. What a payoff. What a reward. Also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. This thing isn't one-sided, is it? We meet the hard places. There are thorns. But every time when we study the Word, when it's finished and done, the consolation so far exceeded the thorns, until who would look at it and say, oh, I'd rather forfeit the benefit than have to go through that again. It's more often found in the scripture that the man says, oh, if that's all it takes for this kind of blessing, just hand me another one. Let's go with that kind of attitude. Let's take this. Well, I jotted down a few thoughts here. You may be way ahead of me again. I hope you are. I hope and trust that this kind of thinking stimulates some activity in our minds. I listed a few things. Every one of these that we visited tonight are in this condition because he elected to do the right. What have we been hearing in this meeting? Make up your mind. Get a hold of something solid and promise yourself, I will not turn this loose. Every one of these have done that, haven't they? And they're blooming. This is what it invites us to. This is what the brethren have been asking us to participate in all through this meeting today. More of this. Think of it. Everyone was rewarded for his faithfulness. Let me tell you something. No man has ever done anything in faithfulness to God and gone unrewarded. He probably didn't sound a trumpet. He probably didn't get a brass band and all this to go along. But when you were faithful to him, you knew in your heart. And the blessing that was in there, you can't deny. He never let it go by without a reward. He won't let yours go by either. If you'll be true to him, he'll be true to you. None of these, notice this, none of these that we looked at tonight were popular in the world. They weren't big men in the community. They hadn't done outstanding things in society. They had been true to their God in spite of society. They had walked with him when it would have been much more beneficial physically, but they preferred this other. But listen, that preference is what made that lily bloom too. I'd rather have God's approval than anything else, wouldn't you? Each gained what he gained by practicing the very things that we heard in this meeting. Let's go from this place determined that I'm going to be a better Christian from now than I've ever been before. I'm going to dedicate myself closer than I've ever dedicated before. I'm going to exert my mind, my thinking, my energies, every faculty I have to do everything I can to know more of him. And when the hard place comes, I'm going to take this bouquet of lilies, and whichever one fits my case the best, I'm going to say, this man lived true and it brought forth this brilliance, and I'm going to have that in my heart and life. Say, well, you can't do that to yourself. No, you can't. But the true ideal, the pattern for it all, he came to make me able to do what I can't do. And through him, I can. I'd like to ask you to sing number 37. I want to live for the Lord and serve him. I'd like you to pray for me.